Hey everyone, welcome back to News from the Queue. I am back with Eddie on the mics. If this is your first time, I'm Paul from Destination Geek, and we also have
Eddie from Eddietainment.
And so, if you found us, you're probably familiar with at least one of our channels, but just in case you're not, Eddie and I both host fun destination and event experience YouTubes. Mostly focused on theme park events, definitely focused on seasonal events like Halloween Horror Nights, Christmas Town, those types of things. And so this is our second episode. I'm going to link our first episode at the end of this one. So if you haven't checked that out, check that out. And even though we are not a Halloween Horror Nights specific podcast, we're going to talk about Halloween Horror Nights again this week. So we've got Halloween Horror Nights going on. Eddie, Halloween Horror Nights tickets.
Yeah.
On sale this week at like random early time of the morning. Did you get your tickets yet?
I got partially my tickets. I didn't get my actual like admission ticket. But to that point, we should also just highlight really quickly what you did. You got us on all the podcast platforms as well. So if
good
anybody's
point. Looking at listening. Before we go in. Yeah, if you're watching this on YouTube, some people like visual, right? They like to see our handsome faces. But if you don't care, or if you just want to listen on the way to work, you can check us out on all of your favorite podcast platforms. So we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts, we're on it as well. Obviously, if you are listening to this through one of those, and we do talk about visual stuff, like sometimes we'll put stuff up on the screen, check us out, youtube.com/IOMGeek. Or you can just look us up, Destination Geek or Eddietainment on YouTube, and our podcast will be there. And we do put some stuff on the screen so you can look at it too, so that you're not just looking at us.
Yeah, but if you're in the car and you need a safer way to listen, we got those now too.
You can just put YouTube up on your car. That's totally safe. But before we go into tickets, you can see I came dressed appropriately.
Your merch.
I got my merch.
So did that, I.
Yep, I see your pumpkin. Hey, that's appropriate. We're going to talk about speculation here in a bit.
I know.
But yeah, tickets went on sale.
The tickets first and then speculation. So stick around if you're interested in talking about the speculation and things that are potentially coming. We're going to dive into that. We promised that last video, right? Or last podcast.
Yeah.
And I just want to say to Paul's point, we definitely aren't only HHN. So for our fans who are jumping on from Busch Gardens and other parks that we visit more regularly, we do have plans to tackle some of that stuff.
Yeah. Bolton. Yes, we'll definitely be talking about Verbolten. We'll be talking about Busch Gardens Food and Wine Festival. There's a lot of Busch Gardens Williamsburg news coming up. So, regardless, we're going to be talking about all the fun stuff that you guys like to hear. So make sure that if you're not, you are subscribed on either your podcast platform or here on YouTube. Just hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell so that you know when we release more content. And most importantly, Just as important, I should say, leave us comments, leave us feedback, leave us reviews. Let us know your thoughts on the podcast. Let us know what you want us to talk about. Give us your thoughts on, do you like this platform? Do you like this format? What do you want to hear us talk about? Those types of things. We love hearing from you. And so we want to hear from you guys. All right. So the big news, like I said, back to the big news. I was at the gym. I don't know. Was it Wednesday? No, Thursday. It was Thursday morning. At like
mild flex, I like it.
It was like 6 a.m. and I saw folks posting on how tickets were already on sale, and I went to the website and they were not on the website. So I went over to the app, and the app had Halloween Horror Nights tickets on sale. Now again, this week, this early in the season, we get single day tickets, express, RIP tours, premium scream early. So basically everything other than multi-night tickets went on sale this week. Multi-night tickets probably won't go on sale until sometime in the summer. So I know a lot of people ask that, but it is at least June, if not July, before those multi-night tickets go on sale. And they sell out quick. At least last year, They sold out quick. The multi-night with Express. Yeah,
those are the ones that sold out. And I did make a note. I wanted us to discuss that, but kind of taking a quick step back, just kind of a pro tip. If you're worried about them selling out and you are looking at getting a ticket, you can purchase your ticket now and then upgrade when the multi-night ticket comes out. Universal will allow that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I could buy an opening night ticket and just upgrade it when the
Express... So you can buy an opening night ticket now, right? Like the single day ticket. And when the multi-day ticket comes up, you could just call them and they'll apply what you paid to the new ticket. As long as the ticket hasn't been utilized, you could upgrade it.
Huh. That is a pro tip because I did not know that. In all my years of going, I did not know that. I just wait till the multi-night tickets go on sale.
I typically do too. I don't really have a fear because I don't get the really popular one with all the Express and all the days included, which I think those are the ones that sell out. I think
that's like an ultimate frequent fear or something like that.
Yeah, I typically get the basic one that's just like August, September.
Mm-hmm.
Or the first 30 days of the event, whatever.
Yeah, the Russia fear. That's the one I usually get. Russia fear with Express because I usually only go like opening weekend. But if you go, I think 3 times, the Russia fear pays for itself.
Yeah.
At least that's historically been the math.
For sure. Because a single day ticket starts at 80 something bucks. The Russia fear is $200. You go 3 times, boom, paid for itself. And typically, if you go opening weekend, you could go 3 times.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. To your point earlier about the tickets and the way that you had to find them, isn't that kind of weird? Like, I jumped on to get them, and to the fans' resilience, they were finding it because the page was taking time to load when I finally found it, which means there was a ton of people that were overloading it. You found it through the app. I actually had to find it through purchasing regular tickets and then instead of selecting a ticket, clicking extras and then clicking Halloween.
Yeah, exactly. So here's the thing. I think this is what happens is they release the tickets they work on releasing the tickets. And sometimes some things come out a little sooner than others. And they're still kind of working through it to announce. Because like the official announcement didn't come till like 11 a.m. that morning that tickets were on sale. But fans... stock that stuff. I mean, it was rumored that stuff was going to come out on Thursday earlier in the week. So like fans like basically hop on it and like check into that stuff and monitor it. And so I think it gets out via the fan base prior to the official release. So I think that's why sometimes tickets are a little bit funky to find. Like, oh, it's not on the site, but it's on the app. Oh, you have to go here to here to here. It's not on the official Horror Nights website, but I can go through the Universal. Like, I think that's part of it. But ultimately, it's because they're actively doing it when someone discovers it and the news gets out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
shout out to whoever's the first person working on finding that information.
I will tell you, I mean, full disclosure, how I found out was from Zombie Chris.
Nice.
On his Instagram stories. He was like, he posted a screenshot that they were now on sale. I'm like, that was me on my phone. Just like that. And so I did not get, like you said, I'm waiting for multi-night tickets before I purchase my admission tickets, but I did get a premium screen night, which we'll talk about here in a minute. I got the Unmasking the Horror Tour. I got the Six House Unmasking the Horror Tour. Slots from the weekend. The first Sunday. Because I figure for me, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, at least if it's anything like the last 2 years because of the Premium Scream Night. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I hit Halloween Horror Nights hard. Because Premium Scream Night, I try to hit everything as much as I can. Friday night's just opening night. You're having a ball. Saturday night, at least last year, Saturday night, I was just hitting the food. And by Sunday, Sunday night, I was like, I'm just going to hit my favorites. Like, I've already done this thing 3 times. I'm good. I've hit everything at least 3 times. Like, I'm just going to go ahead and hit my favorites. So I figure by Sunday, I'm okay doing the Unmasking the Horror Tour and easing into Horror Nights for the evening instead of it, that was my thinking. We'll see. I haven't taken a Six House Unmasking the Horror Tour in years. I haven't taken an Unmasking the Horror Tour on the same day as Halloween Horror Nights in years because they've been doing those early house tours. But this year I won't be there early enough to do one of the early ones. Plus, I wanted to guarantee as much as possible that I could get into the that I could see the anniversary house, the chaos and control house, because I was like, I figured that will be on the six house tour. We'll see if I'm wrong. It better be.
Yeah,
because that's what I got it for. I'm like, that's the house I want to see. We'll talk about the speculation map in a bit, because I have some thoughts. But yeah, so if you haven't gotten your tickets, single day tickets and express now on sale, multi-day tickets later in the year. But they also, like we said, sell some of the extras, the RIP tours.
Yeah.
Which you've done in the past.
Yeah, I've done in the past. I also purchased my tickets, but I only purchased the premium screens. I will be doing unmasking. I just haven't booked it yet. Mm-hmm. And I typically have done the Six House tour. Last year was actually the first time I didn't do it. For whatever reason, I don't really recall. I think I was a sour guy. I was real sour at the event last year. So I was like, I'm not doing it. But to the point of the single night tickets this year start off at $87.99, as opposed to last year they were $82.99. So they've gone up a whole $5 from the starting point of last year.
All right.
The what's it called, RIP tour, back to that point, were you gonna ask me something specifically about it?
Well, so a couple of thoughts about the RIP tour. So I haven't actually, I've never done an RIP tour at Halloween Horror Nights, but it's a similar experience to what the media get on opening night. And I used to get media access to Halloween Horror Nights. So, you know, it's, you've got like a food thing, you know, like a food hour or whatever. And then there's like guided, you know, like it's even faster than express. They basically walk you into each of the houses and you get to see everything that you want. You also need a multi-day. You also need a ticket for that event evening.
Yep.
So this is an upcharge. But
that's the differentiating factor of what makes it kind of like even playing field with premium screams, because that difference makes it significantly more expensive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Overall, I would say RIP is the much better way to experience the event, right? It's true. Straight to the front of the line, straight to enter the house. And typically your guide will join it in front of you. And what that does is your guide will typically give a little bit of space and they'll have their wand as well. So as the guide passes, the actors know the people following are RIP guests.
Okay.
So they scare differently. You know, I've been told that they're aware of that. Right. When they see an RIP tour guide come through, they know the people behind are RIP guests. So they could try to tackle it. And also your RIP tour guide will sometimes try to help you get space in between the guest in front of you.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I think we'll I'm gonna save this for a future episode, but I think we'll have to really talk about or debate about what is the best way to experience Halloween Horror Nights. Is it a regular ticket with an express? Is it RIP? Is it premium screen? Well, I think we'll have to really kind of go into those in more detail, because I think that's a longer conversation.
Yeah. And the food, by the way, it's open all night. So if you wanted off from your group for whatever reason, because you needed a break and you were hungry or whatever, all you need is your RIP pass to enter La Bamba. Or wherever they do it, because there was a year where they did it over in New York, behind the like library over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it's been La Bamba the past couple years. You could go, and even when your tour is done, as long as your tour isn't done past a certain like time, you could go back into La Bamba, grab free food, and chill.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I figured it out. I probably did two tours before I figured out that, oh yeah, it's not just the opening where you can eat and stuff. You can do it after too.
Okay.
And in between.
But, you know, we did talk briefly about Premium Scream, right? So I think Premium Screams, they made an update this year to Premium Scream. So if you're not familiar with Premium Scream, at least the last 2 years, Premium Scream has been a Premium Scream early night, where the night before official opening night, you basically have a Halloween Horror Nights night. And you pay a premium cost, but it is all inclusive of the event with, and this is a change this year, with Pulsed house housing. So, you know, they would only send your group through and then they'd wait a minute, send the next group through. Yeah, it seems like that may be done for this year, but reduced weights because they, you know, they sell a lower quantity of tickets for the event. And the best part of Premium Scream Night is that it is all inclusive of food and non-alcoholic beverage. And so you get to sample the Halloween Horror Nights, all the Halloween Horror Nights foods, inclusive in your ticket. And I think that's where the actual value of the night lies, is in being able to sample all those foods, especially because, so the first year, way undersold, or, you know, didn't sell well, I should say. It wasn't it's not like they undersold it. They had a capacity that they had planned for.
The fans were hesitant.
Yeah, people were hesitant, but I hopped in on it. It is one of the best nights at Halloween Horror Nights I've ever had. Got to try all the food, got to hit the houses, literally by myself for most of the houses, you know, or just me and Kyle from View from the Cheap Seats, and very great experience. Then the news got out that, like, hey, this is amazing. The following year, they hit the capacity, which I think was like 7 or 10,000, something like that. You know, that they, and as a result,
fictitious capacity, because I heard that they were selling at the gate.
Ah, okay. Yeah. but then, you know, they, so it was much more crowded, and unfortunately the weather was not on our side this past year, because there was like a monsoon that basically took an hour and a half out of the event, unless you were willing to just like go in it, you know, walk in it. But most people just kind of sat somewhere to wait it out, and so that took a big chunk of time.
Scare zones were still affected. All that stuff is impacted significantly.
Yeah, so it was definitely not the same experience the second year. But I mean, still, I was able to hit all the houses, but I wasn't able to do as much of the food this past year as I was the first year. Now this year, they're doing it again, and so they're doing the same format in that they're doing it the Thursday before opening night. However, they are also, they said they've listened to the fan base. Yeah. They sent an email out, especially to people who went last year. They said, we've listened to you based on last year's feedback. They've brought capacity down on the event, and they've added a second night. And the second night is going to be a mid-October evening, which is usually, you know, mid-October is when the event hits, like, you know, like hellish, you know, volume of people. Like mid-October is when everyone goes to Halloween Horror Nights. It's, you know, that's when the nights sell out, lots of people go, very crowded. And so I think they kind of took advantage of that to have a premium night. Now at that point, it's not an early view, it's more of it, but it does include all the food and beverage and stuff. So I think that's, you know, there's still a benefit to doing it in October, especially, you know, for people who travel, tend to travel that time of year. It just kind of gives them, again, a premium experience of Halloween Horror Nights. But in addition to that change, the one we mentioned is that in the documentation announcing the event, the language,
they've updated the language.
They've updated the language.
It was a point of contention, right? Because they didn't deliver on the language or the promise in the language, right? And it was real easy to point that out, because it specified pulsing. Pulsing was up in the air on whether
inconsistent. I will say pulsing was inconsistent. Even the first year with the reduced capacity, the pulsing was inconsistent.
Yeah. And what I found about the people who were doing pulsing, it was like a 1,001, 1,000 go. That was the pulse, right? So like it was barely anything. But taking a step back to some of the comments that you made, I think Premium Screams, there's a huge amount of value. And you said the food you think is the biggest value. I think it's the biggest potential value, because you either, at least from last year's experience, you either decide that you're going to try all the food or you're going to do all the houses. You're not going to do both. I couldn't see a way of doing it, especially since we lost 2 hours, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. I ate a few items and did all the houses, but I couldn't see a night where I would have been able to do all the houses and all the food I wanted.
Yeah.
It wasn't possible.
I will say the Saturday, last year, like I said, because of the rain, I missed out on doing the food on Premium Scream Night, but the Saturday of the opening weekend, because opening night is busy.
Yeah.
Now, I also had Express, Right. So, but the last year on Saturday, I was able to do all the houses and sample all the food that I wanted. Nice. And just another little pro tip, because I think we're coming up on the end of Mardi Gras at Universal Studios. And if you have the ability to go to Mardi Gras now, get those gift cards, especially if you're an annual pass holder. They have a $150 food and beverage gift card that you can get for $120. So it's $30 off. And it's not just specifically for Mardi Gras. You could use it for any food and beverage on the Universal property. And so if you get those, you can use them for the Halloween Horror Nights food. And if you're an annual pass holder, you get an additional discount on the food items. You're 5, 10, 15%, whatever discount on the food items. So it's like a double discount. So if you have the ability to get that gift card, I'd say do it now.
And if you like alcoholic beverages at Universal are not discounted, but if you're getting a gift card that has $30 off and you use it exclusively for alcoholic beverages, then technically you've applied your own discount.
See, look at us giving you ways to save money here on News from the Queue.
And going back to Premium Scream Nights, I think there is great value in the unlimited food and the houses, because you can mix that in, and you know the food gets pretty expensive if you actually want to eat. But I think the real value is the fact that you don't need to get a daytime ticket. If you really break it down, Halloween Horror Nights with Express and dining inside of there and getting some beverages inside of there probably will round out to around the same price as Premium Screams, if not more. So I think that's where the real value lies of Premium Screams. You don't need that daytime ticket. And that's why I said it's the big differentiator between RIP and Premium Screams, is that you don't need a separate ticket to enter that particular event.
Well, let's talk about the daytime stuff, right? So they've they've announced Scream Early. Now, Scream Early has historically been a relatively minimal cost, but if you don't have a daytime ticket, you can get into the park a few hours early. Halloween Horror Nights, I think, kicks off like 6 o'clock, give or take, the evening. But you can get into the park like 2 or 3 hours early and just either sit in the Stay and Scream queue, or last year they had you got a wristband and got to roam around the park freely for that time period. And even some of the houses did open slightly early, which was great. Now this year, Scream Early has gone up very much in price. I think it's like $70, $80 now. It was $55 last year. It has gone up significantly, but you can get into the park starting at 2 p.m. So you basically have 4 hours before the event starts, and they are, and the language of the announcement hints that at least 3 haunted houses will be open during that time period. So you can technically start hitting some of those houses during the day prior to the opening ceremonies or the gates opening for actual Halloween Horror Nights. Now, the debate online, which has not been clarified, is that the only way to experience those houses at 2 o'clock? Like, if you are just a daytime ticket holder and a Halloween Horror Nights ticket holder, and you like, are you still able to experience the houses, or do you have to have the premium upcharge Scream Early?
I'm not opposed to them giving the people who don't have that ticket a different
exclusivity to those houses. I'm not opposed to it.
Right. So the people who purchase it get that 2 p.m. access. The people who don't purchase it get to go to like the unholding area. Maybe give like a purple band to the people who purchase it,
and a green band or something.
A green band to the people who didn't purchase it. Everybody still gets a version of Scream Early, or what was the, it's not called Scream
Stay
Early.
And Scream.
Stay and Scream. Everybody gets a version of Stay and Scream. But one of them is premiums, especially when the price has gone up so significantly. I think, and to that point, the price has gone up significantly, but it's still cheaper than a daytime ticket. And you basically get to enjoy the daytime experience, get some rides in, if you want to, right? And Halloween Horror Nights early.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, here's the thing. I actually, to your point, like, am I going to be upset if I can't access those 3 houses, you know, in the same time period? No, I mean, I'm going to be okay with it. I mean, would I prefer to? Sure. But for the cost of Scream Early, like you would think they would get something out of it other than just park access, because it is a significant cost increase. And is that extra hour worth 25 additional dollars?
Yeah. The language also with the minimum of three houses or whatever is followed by language that to me is a little vague and leaves opportunity for three houses not to appear, because it says at Universal's discretion. It doesn't say the selection of the three houses is at Universal's discretion. It just says at Universal's discretion, which means if Universal's discretion says we can't open three, we got to open two, or we can't open any.
Or whether it's restrictive of it, you know, things like that. Yeah.
It doesn't say that the selection of the three is at their discretion. It just says at their discretion.
Yeah.
Which leaves it very open. I don't think Universal would intentionally, you know, not open the houses. I think they're just leaving themselves open so that they don't fall into the same hole that they fell with Premium Screams and their language there.
Yeah.
But that was an observation that I made that kind of protects them if they don't open up three houses or they don't open up any houses.
Yeah. And here's the thing. In the end, logistically, like last year, I felt like these last few years, Universal has made some changes logistically to Horror Nights, whether it's the new tent houses in the back and the different ways of queuing them. Or last year, the soundstage houses all had like, it basically you just kind of like left the park and you could do all the soundstage houses without actually leaving that area of the park. So the logistical updates that they've made have been very smart. So I'm very curious to see if this is another logistic update and how they're going to take care of it. But yeah, I mean, in the end, of course, I'll be like, oh, they get early access, you know, but at the same time, like they paid for it. Right. So as the people who did Scream early. So if that's a thing, we don't know. That's a thing. That's just a rumor.
If it ends up being a thing, though, you could almost call that baby Premium Screams, because I bet you that's going to be a very, very good experience for those who decide to pay that $70.
Yep. Yeah.
Especially for the first year before it gets ruined.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, this year I'll be doing Premium Scream. I probably won't do any of the Scream early because I will have already seen them during Premium Scream. So I don't necessarily need to hop in to the houses at 2 o'clock, you know, and, you know, I'll just go experience the event throughout, try some food and stuff, but I'm looking forward to it. But all right. So Eddie, so those were the tickets. We have only gotten one official announcement for Halloween Horror Nights houses. We've gotten Jack and Oddfellow, Chaos and Control as a house that's announced. But we are getting into announcement season this year. It's starting early because last year we had Epic Universe, you know, so we had a delayed announcement season. This year, I think we'll start getting announcements. I mean, we had tickets already. We've gotten the first house already, the icons and theme already. I think we'll probably get an IP announcement next, maybe within the next month. I don't know anything, but my gut's telling me that. We have a number of speculation maps out there right now. You know, and we don't, you know, in the end, they are truly just speculation. In the past, they have been pretty accurate for the most part, you know, but things do change. Licenses change. In fact, one of the things that was heavily rumored for this year was Hellraiser. That was rumored as early as last year, but it's not showing up on recent speculation maps. Like maybe it fell through again. I think that's a property that they've been trying to do for years. But
there's properties that they will always use just to tease us.
Yeah.
They will never give us.
Yeah. Never actually comes through. But the most recent speculation map as of this recording is one from Hollowed Out Horror. And so, you know, it shows again 10 IP houses, or excuse me, 10 houses, 5 IPs, 5 originals. It shows the scare zones and the return of Club Horror. The five, we talked briefly about this last week, but I want to say the 5 IPs that are listed on this speculation map are Stranger Things, Ozzy Osbourne, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Sinners, and Evil Dead Burn.
By the way, I just want to mention something really quick. In our notes, you put Evil Dad Burn, and I'm a dad, so I was terrified.
You thought you were going to get burned.
Evil Dad Burn? Oh, no.
Oh, no. Well, unless you're an evil dad, you're safe.
Right? Okay. All right. All right. Cool.
but yeah, so I will say this is probably the third or fourth speculation map that's happened, because I think they've been coming out since as early as last year. I have very little excitement for the IP properties this year if these are them. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I think Sinners is very cool. I love the movie. I think the house could be cool. I've been a fan of the Evil Dead franchise since the beginning. Ozzy Osbourne is always, especially a tribute given his passing away. But it's crazy because, like, last year, Stranger Things, I would have been all about. This year, I'm like, yeah, I'm over it, right? Texas Chainsaw Massacre, we've experienced it a number of times, and I've experienced it a few times already at Universal Horror Unleashed in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That almost feels like a backup. Like Texas Chainsaw Massacre just ends up being a contingency when other things fall through, it feels like. And so if these are the intellectual properties that end up coming, even though I like Ozzy, even though I like Sinners, even though I like Evil Dead, none of them are like, oh hell yeah, I can't wait. Cannot wait for that intellectual property to be featured at the event. None of these hit me that way.
I do enjoy Stranger Things. I'm one of the rare few that never saw an issue with Stranger Things, any of the houses. I enjoyed them all. And I think it's because I'm very partial to the spectacle of walking through a season, and the Stranger Things houses have always delivered that for me, at least. And to that point, I'm not even a Stranger Things fan. I'm not a fan of the show, but I'm a fan of watching the show and then living it out, or watching a movie and then living it out. Ozzy, I appreciate it, but I've never been a huge fan of artists, specifically singers.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to the event with the house when the rumored Billie Eilish was coming, I was way against that. When the rumored Lady Gaga, I was way against that. And The Weeknd was probably the only exception that I ever made to that rule.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say Ozzy does seem very horror, but I still would kind of feel like I would prefer something else. Question for you.
Yeah.
If we were to swap out Texas or any of these in particular for Halloween, would that change this lineup for you?
Like Michael Myers Halloween?
Correct.
Potentially. If you swapped out Texas Chainsaw for Halloween, I would swap out Stranger Things or Texas Chainsaw for Halloween. I'm a big Michael Myers fan, and I will say I really loved last year's Jason Universe house. I loved all the different iterations of Jason. I understand that rights and stuff like that makes it difficult for some of these other properties to do that. But I feel like I would have been more excited about Michael Myers for sure.
Yeah, 100%. And there was a time in Universal history where like Michael made his appearance like every 2 years.
Yeah,
and that rule has kind of fallen to the wayside.
Well, and I think, taking a Jason Universe approach to Michael is something that I haven't really seen. And what I mean by that is, we've seen we've seen Michael Myers, we've seen Michael Myers houses based on specific movies. 1, 2, 4. We've seen one come back again, like specifically here's a recreation of that movie. But we haven't necessarily seen a Michael Universe, right? We haven't seen the greatest hits of Michael Myers. And I'm sure some of that's rights based because the rights are held up and all these different things. But it feels like there should be a way to do like the best scenes of Michael Myers from all, let's see, there's 8 originals, 2 Rob Zombies, and 3 of the most recent ones. So 13 of the 13 Halloweens, I feel like they could do a greatest hits from all of them, featuring multiple different Michael Myers, and that would have excited me. Like, give me all the different Michaels.
Only use the first Rob Zombie and throw away the rest.
No, you gotta have the white horse.
No.
The pale horse.
The unicorn with his mom rolling in.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that would be spectacular. But
just as a call, somewhere. I feel like that would have excited me. Because I think with Texas Chainsaw, unfortunately with Texas Chainsaw, you could do a Texas Chainsaw universe, a Leatherface universe house, and it will all look the same to me. And they did. They technically did. 2 years ago when we went to Halloween Horror Nights in Hollywood.
Universal? Yeah.
Yeah. Remember the Texas Chainsaw Massacre house
was the scariest house that Hollywood had.
Yeah. But that was basically their version. Like it had all the different iterations of text of Leatherface throughout the house. If you did that with this, I think I'd be okay with it, but I'd still be like, been there, done that. That one, unfortunately, is a big womp-womp for me.
I would say, for me personally, I agree with you. It doesn't necessarily get me excited, but Evil Dad Burn is the one that probably...
The Evil Dad.
Evil Dead Burn is probably the one that would be my swap here. If I could swap anything, that would be the first one. Probably
I think Evil Dead has potential. You know, the movie is not out yet, but I think Evil Dead does have a lot of potential for a scary house if done well. And if the movie's good, great. Like the last few Evil Dead movies have been great. So I'm okay with Evil Dead being there. And, you know, at least it's a property that's relevant from a movie that's coming out this year, right? Because Sinners came out last year, still a relevant property because of award season. You know, but none of them are actively having a movie out this year other than Evil Dead.
Yeah, but both Sinners and Stranger Things are from last year, which yeah. I think that keeps them fairly relevant. Like Halloween Horror Nights doing a previous year IP is fairly normal, and they kind of steer away from the trailer houses now, because that used to be a
thing. Yeah. Well, I think the thing with Stranger Things is that the way it ended, which I don't get me wrong, I liked Stranger Things. I very much am a fan of Stranger Things. I was excited about the finale and all that stuff, but I think it, like, basically because of the way it ended, fans instantly checked out of the property. They're like, it's over. Ending was okay. Moving on. Like no one talks about Stranger Things regularly anymore. You know, they can't plan that for that kind of for that kind of reaction when they're planning these houses. They have to plan them early. And I think the house will still be great because it'll still be, hopefully, kind of a conglomeration of all the Stranger Things seasons, right? Like the greatest hits of Stranger Things of all five seasons. So I think it'll still be a good house. I just don't necessarily know that HHN this year has the instant selling property that it did last year with Terrifier. And I know you weren't a fan of Terrifier, but Terrifier went viral, you know, with all the Art the Clown crap online. I don't think they have that this year with the IP properties that they have. But, you know, in the end, they're not bad. They're just not, there's just not a single one that's like, there's not a single like gut punch IP property. Now, that being said, the original stuff, I'm very excited about the original properties this year because they are all callbacks to previous Halloween Horror Nights lore. So you've got Jack versus Jack and Oddfellow Chaos and Control. Let me clarify. This is all rumors. We're talking about this stuff because we are excited about it, but none of this has been confirmed other than Chaos and Control.
You heard it first here, guys. Confirmed.
the Carrie Zoo Beyond the Cage, which I think is like a human animal hybrid thing. HR Blood and Guts, All Hail the Pumpkin Lord, and Invasion of Lightning Gulch. All speculation properties, all speculation, but all original properties and all references to previous Halloween Horror Nights. And of course, of the five, Jack and Oddfellow is definitely my number one, but the Return of the Pumpkin Lord, like your shirt, the Return of the Pumpkin Lord.
This house, 100%. The original Pumpkin Lord house was spectacular. And the bridge scene where the bridge is kind of like dilapidated, you can see down in between the cracks and everything.
Yeah.
That lives in infamy in my head. That being said, I think they owe him some like a get back, because that year where they put him in the front in his little booth, they did him
dirty. He was burping and farting and stuff.
They did him so dirty. They ruined such, like, I would say the Pumpkin Lord is more an icon than Oddfellow can ever imagine being, if it wasn't for the fact that they ruined him that one year.
I don't know. I thought he was fine. I mean, so he was featured. So Pumpkin Lord was originally in Halloween Horror Nights 30, I think, the Wicked Growth Realm of the Pumpkin was the house he was featured in. And then he became the icon of the following year's event, Halloween Horror Nights 22. He was featured at the front, talking to guests and stuff like that. So I thought that part was fine. I mean, I thought they, you know, he was like burping and farting and stuff like that, which I thought was a little silly. But other than that, like it, you know, obvious. One of the things that I like about
year.
It wasn't, but they had him in front. So they didn't really have enough.
They didn't give him the opportunity. They didn't give him the opportunity, right? I don't. That's the way that I feel. Like I was so impressed by his house. His house was in a tent, and it was still like so amazing. Right, he didn't need a soundstage. They should have brought him back. They should have given him a pedestal in the front, but also a house and some lore throughout the event, which they didn't. If he's coming back, I look forward to it. Hopefully, they take the approach of the first year and not the second year with all the farting and burping.
Yeah, and I think, you know, here's the thing. The thing that I like about the Pumpkin Lord is that it will be a return to, you know, the iconic Halloween, you know,
yes.
Imagery. So pumpkins and, you know, and his like just fall colors and stuff like that. So, you know, jack-o'-lanterns everywhere. I think that's what really made people love the Wicked Growth originally. You know, what used to be so iconic about the Central Park area of the park were the jack-o'-lanterns in the trees. So the Pumpkin Lord House that's probably my number two. I think the other three are all fun ideas. Invasion of Lightning Gulch combines two previous HHN properties in one house, aliens and, you know, cowboys. HR Blood and Guts, you've got like a late night horror show host. You know, he's been featured a number of times at the event. And the Cary Zoo is probably just, like we said, mixed animal-human hybrids in like some type of caged, you know, scenario. And they just kind of slapped Cary on it to tie it in to the Cary, Ohio lore. But I think, that's probably of the five my least interested one. But the rest of them I'm definitely psyched for.
This year definitely needs some Cary in it, though.
Yeah.
If we're really going to call it a anniversary year. But the Cary Zoo also seems like a perfect fit for like a cat lady replacement.
Oh, that's true. Because, yeah, that was one of the previous rumored things. We thought there was going to be a cat lady on Crooked Lane House. But, yeah, that's not on the latest speculation maps. Now, again, could change. We still got 4 months? 5 months. 5 months before the event as of this recording. So, you know, as new speculation comes out and as official announcements come up, we'll definitely talk about them here.
And that scare zone was spectacular.
That was a great scare zone. And we'll talk about, I think we'll talk about scare zones in a future episode. Cause I'm definitely I definitely have some thoughts on the evolution of scare zones over the last few years and what's rumored for this year.
Okay. Okay.
Gotta keep them coming back, Eddie. Gotta keep them coming back.
I know. I'm always the one getting ahead of myself.
You're like, let's talk about it all.
when it gets to the original, I like the HR Blood and Guts, house. I like the, what's it called? The HR Blood and Guts came from Slaughter Cinema, right?
No, HR Blood and Guts actually came before Slaughter Cinema. Like, I think HR Blood and Guts has been a thing at Halloween Horror Nights. Like, they had a holiday based house years back. Like, he's just kind of like the late night Dr. Mad Blood, Joe Bob Briggs. Like, he just hosts like horror movies, like late night horror movies in just this lore of Halloween Horror Nights. So he's been featured a number of times at the event.
That being said, I like the like old movie aesthetic type of approach. So HR Blood and Guts, it was in Slaughter Cinema though, right?
HR Blood and Guts? I don't think so.
All right, maybe I'm thinking of something else. All right, scratch that, edit it out. but Pumpkin Lord, Cary Zoo, and Oddfellow, Jack and Oddfellow. Well, we know Jack and Oddfellow are coming as an original. That's probably going to be my most anticipated house for the year, period.
Yeah.
But the Cary Zoo one, to me, for whatever reason, sticks out. Maybe I'm just a sucker for Cary, Ohio.
Yeah, I mean, I am too. I you know, this, they had a house a few years ago. L Block Horror was back in 2022.
That was the Evil Dead replacement, right?
That was the Evil Dead replacement, right? So basically, Hell Block Horror was this house that featured creatures from previous events, mostly, you know, creatures from like scare zones and stuff like that were all in a facility, and they broke out And it was a replacement house, and it wasn't particularly good. And so when I see some, when I see something similar to that, I'm like, that's how it strikes me. I could be wrong, but you know, I'm hopeful for all of it. But like that one for me just feels like, I don't know. We'll see.
But the Scary House was really good.
Welcome to Scary. Yeah, Welcome to Scary was great. So I mean, I love when they incorporate that stuff, and I think what I'm hopeful for this year, especially because we're kind of seeing it already in the official announcement, is I really hope HHN at some point really embraces their continuity and their lore and their storylines in a way that makes sense and actually expands the world further. And what I mean by that is don't just slap a Cary, Ohio sign on a house that has nothing to do with it. Find a way to incorporate it into the larger storyline. Find a way to tie that larger storyline to the larger theme of the event. I think that stuff is a lot of fun. And I think fans really dig that stuff. I mean, I think they try because, Oddfellow, you know, his house, they had some ties in and things like that a few years back. But I just don't think they have, I don't think they sit down. And this is not to offend anybody. I don't know that they sit down and literally come up with a storyline that is clearly articulated to the fan base in a way that like slap a comic book out there, have a website that goes over the history of things, like make it a genuine continuity. One of the things that's been rumored for years now is that there's been talk of turning some of these original properties into TV shows or movies for Peacock, out of Universal Studios, and at that point they'd have to. But I just love the idea of, okay, Jack and Oddfellow has been a great way to tie in the previous story threads from both of those characters. And I'm excited about the potential that they'll embrace that a bit more.
I think the people who create the event are definitely fans and they try. I think the bigger issue, maybe, obviously, this is me speculating, but I think the bigger issue is that when they put in a ton of effort for the core fan base or little effort for the core fan base, they're getting the same results, right? They're not seeing a return on their investment when they put extra work into it. We show up regardless, right? They know they could charge us more, they could do less, and we show up all the same. So why? But when they put effort to the general public, they get huge.
Yeah, exactly. You throw a Terra Fire thing out there, you invest in the things, the viral stuff, the viral foods, the random meet and greets and stuff like that. Yeah, that stuff definitely sells the event financially. Yeah. But I feel like there is a way to sell to the niche fan, the super fan, even if it is, like I mentioned, a comic book. Like that comic book thing sold out when they had it a few years ago at the event. You know, a comic book, a book, literally a book, an art book, or something, that literally ties the story together, I think goes a long way. I mean, whenever they release stuff like this, like I said, the comic book, the icon totems from years ago. I'm looking over here, the record.
Signed artwork.
the record, the vinyl, they had. Yeah, fans eat it.
Yeah, it all sells out.
Yeah, and so obviously you have to make enough that it's worth your cost without sitting on a shelf and ending up in the in the outlet later on this year. But I think there's a way to find that right balance between fan, feeding the super fan without losing money doing it. And I think they're off to a good start with this Jack and Oddfellow thing. And I hope they embrace it even more in the merchandise, in, the storytelling and stuff like that. And I would be excited about that.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. I mean, keep making stuff for us. That'd be great. If that were the case, if they solely focused on us, the event would not be probably nowhere near as big as it is today. Because Stranger Things changed that forever.
True.
But we the main fans would be probably way happier with how the event is going.
Yeah. Well, Eddie, this was another fun episode for me.
Yeah.
Of news Absolutely. From the queue. Hopefully you all watching this enjoyed it. If you did, give us a thumbs up on it or a positive review if you're listening via a podcast provider. It really helps us out, really gets the word out. Get the word out to folks who do like this type of stuff. That helps us out as well. And we've got more content coming. Obviously, we're going to be talking about Halloween Horror Nights a lot, but we'll also, like we mentioned earlier, be talking about Busch Gardens and other theme park events in the near future. So make sure that you are subscribed, hit the notification bell so that you know when we release our upcoming episodes.
Back to, we won't do only Halloween Horror Nights. Busch Gardens fans,
Verbolten is coming. We have some big news coming for Verbolten. If you're listening to this in April, later this month, we have some big Verbolten stuff to talk about. So, that's your little tease. It's coming. All right, everyone. We will see you next time.